meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Addiction medicine specialist.
Man, do you sound happy. What, you just run into Minka or something?
No.
No?
No, I'm not that happy.
Oh, all right.
I've been running around. My flight got delayed.
Oh. Well, usually when you're calling from Vegas, you're loaded. You're not loaded.
No.
No,
not loaded.
I can tell.
No.
But you sound like you... like
regrettably.
You spent like 3 hours in a strip club this afternoon or something?
No, no. Listen, how dare you? I come over here to work, and then by the time I'm done working... Well, I'll tell you the Vegas schedule.
I've been there with you.
Right, you've been here with me. You get back to the hotel at 7 o'clock. You check in.
Yeah.
You get something to eat, take a shower, watch a little TV, and then you got to come here.
Yep. Good times.
Yeah, good times.
And
then tomorrow, do the same thing, except for end up over there, except for you don't get to go home.
Nice.
Yeah, that's just what I've been praying for my whole life. You know, it was great this morning because a flight got delayed an hour coming out of Burbank because of high winds in Vegas.
Oh.
And anyone who's taken that Burbank or anywhere to Vegas flight when, you know, it's cold, it's clear, and it's windy. Mm. And it's just nothing but turbulence
all the way here.
Yeah. And you know, the worst thing about the turbulence, it's that the stewardesses have to sit down.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean?
They can't get you a little bag of peanuts or non-peanuts.
I want my peanuts. I want my light beer.
Yeah.
Order beer and some peanuts, and the next thing you know, the captain gets on the squawk box and tells them all to take a seat.
And that's that.
Yeah, that's that. Then you just sit there with cotton mouth, jonesing for peanuts.
Because they don't. Do they serve peanuts at Southwest? Isn't that the airline that won't give you peanuts? Because
no, Southwest is the only airline that does give you peanuts, except for when some blowhard calls in and requests.
Oh.
I was on a flight where someone called ahead and asked that no peanuts be served.
Oh,
and to me,
my God.
It's like, hey, jackass, you take a donkey to L.A. then, you son of a bitch. And by the way, what kind of policy is this? You know, one person calling, there's 148 people on the plane. You got one person calling up saying they don't like peanuts. Screw you. You drive then. That's it. Peanuts and flight. They go together. Like porn and Kleenex.
Hey, bah, bah, bah. Adam.
Hmm.
He's continued to be a dick. I'm going to call every time you fly anywhere. I'm going to say, hey, I don't like peanuts when I'm on that flight.
Yeah,
it could be great.
Listen,
you could just call
listen,
every time he flies. That's what I'm saying.
Anderson, you barely got the energy to shut your car door before you drive somewhere. Are you kidding me? You'll never do that.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Let's take some calls, shall we?
You're dead to me.
Right.
Go ahead, by the way, because they don't serve peanuts anywhere except for that stinking airline.
But that's what he's saying. He said he'll call up, pretend he's an allergic person.
Yeah, but Drew,
what?
Here's what I'm saying. I fly Southwest 15% of the time.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you always.
I'm saying it's not going to work. I don't fly Southwest everywhere.
Got
I avoid it like the plague.
Got it.
It's not going to work when I'm flying everywhere else.
Yes. Got it. Those,
right.
Those already hold the peanuts. Here's Desiree. She is 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. Desiree.
Hello?
Yes.
This
is where you talk.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
I hang up on her.
I'm sorry too. All right. Let's go to Opie.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay. I wanted to know if there's any long-term effects, physical or mental, on abortion of the mother.
Aborting the mother?
No, not aborting the mother. The mother, if there's any effects on the mother.
Yeah, there's lots of effects on the mother. It's a surgical procedure. They can rupture the uterus. They can cause infections and bleeding.
It's rare. Not long-term stuff.
Well, the uterus can actually seal shut sometimes and cause fertility problems or scarring around the tubes. Rare. Very rare. The thing that's rarely discussed, coincidentally, is the fact that this does have a substantial impact on women emotionally. I even wonder whether there's some sort of a biological effect of going from pregnant to not pregnant because... Boy, so many women are profoundly affected. They have remorse and they regret it. And you know, I do lots and lots of physicals on women who are 30 and 40 years old who still talk with great remorse about having had an abortion and how it depressed them for a long time afterwards. So I kind of think it might even be just the biological effect of going from pregnant and then having that taken.
Yeah. It'd be like someone letting you hold the Stanley Cup for just a couple of minutes and then ripping it out of your arms. I mean, for a male.
Exactly.
Right?
All right.
All right. But anyway, she'll get over it.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Good times. Don, 33.
My question is for Adam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, if you're literally a millionaire, literally.
Literally.
Why are you flying Southwest, man?
Oh, Don. I'll tell you, it kills me. Because Burbank Airport does not see fit to have any first-class flights out of Burbank to Vegas. They just don't. I've gone over this a thousand times.
You're in line with the rest of the cattle at that point. I mean,
not only that, but I'm not even paying for it. I mean, it's true. I'm literally a millionaire and could afford first class, but I would be flying first class anyway, not even paying for it. And then I sit home the night before and I see the commercials, $19 to Vegas. And I like break the pencil I'm holding.
Yeah.
You know what? You know how pissed off you are when you see it's only costing $19 for somebody else to fly you somewhere?
Is that what it cost?
It's each way. I saw the commercial the night before I left.
Oh, my God.
Just rubbing it in my face. $19 one way to Vegas.
And if you got first class, it would be about $800.
I got to, yeah, but who cares? I'm not paying for it. I get this. Oh my God! And I said, you know what I did
Adam,
tonight? What?
Forget you guys, the Crank Anchor crowd or Jack Hole production buying a condo out in Vegas. You guys need to lease time on a executive jet.
Oh my God!
Of course, that's what you have.
Let me tell you where I sat on the flight out there, and Don, and then I'm gonna shut up about this. But Don got me going. I sat on the seat that's in the very back of the plane, so it doesn't recline.
Right, right.
And by the way, go ahead and make the plane another 8 inches longer. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How many times you get stuck on that very back seat? I got stuck on the very back seat with a guy who was deceptively sloppy fat. Mm. Not big and rotund fat, sort of sloppy fat. Like he's wearing a black sweatpants and a black sweatshirt. And if you'd guessed, you'd say weighed about 200 pounds, but he really probably came in about 245. And when he sat down, it was like just putting a balloon of water next to me. And he was slopping into my seat. And then the guy to my right was just, you know, decent-sized guy, probably about 200 and 210 pounds.
Uh-uh.
So I got the 200-pound club next to me, to my right and to my left, and I got this guy spilling into my seat.
Oh.
I had to feel the warmth of his sweaty flesh all the way out there while we fought turbulence and couldn't recline the seat. And, you know, the ultimate insult is the person in front of you reclines their seat.
Of course.
So now that thing's in your sternum, and I got sloppy fat guy next to me, and I was in between both of them. So painful,
hey,
Drew.
Hey,
a big star like me. Yes, Don.
Hey, you know, the other thing that sucks about Southwest for your situation is it sounds to me like you're constantly late. So that's why you wind up with the last seat on the plane, because they seat in order by when you get there and check in. So,
how dare you? Yes, I am constantly late. And that's the other thing, too. We book these flights a month in advance, but it doesn't matter. You still got to beat Fatty to the terminal before you get your seat.
Mm.
I know.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
Ryan, 25.
Yeah, and by the way, I wasn't late. The goddamn plane left an hour late.
Ryan?
Thank God for my precious booze.
Ryan. All right. Elliot, 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on, Elliot?
I'm going to a movie with a girl on Saturday.
Cool.
And I was wondering what's the best way to, like, sneak your arm around her.
Well, Adam, you did the big yawn, didn't you? Isn't that how you did it?
I did the yawn,
no,
but
I don't like that.
Yawn and stretch.
Oh, I did the yawn, and then I elbowed her in the nose. That happened to me once in high school.
Seriously?
Yes, elbow. You know, I got long arms, Drew.
Elliot's 13. He's practicing this. You were in high school doing that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Elliot, what's?
What?
I mean, what are you asking?
I'm asking, like, what's the best way to...
Just do it. If you would like your arm around her, just place it there.
What movie are you going to?
Probably A Guy Thing.
Okay. A Guy Thing? Is it new?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. We haven't really planned it yet.
All right. Does she like you?
Yeah.
Right. You asked her out on a date?
Yeah.
What grade are you in?
Seventh.
Seventh.
Seventh grade. Drew, yeah. You're always older with the numbers.
Hmm.
All right. Well, she's into you, so don't worry about it. Yeah, that's what she wants you to do.
She'll want that arm right around you, right around her.
Yeah, and listen, you're not going to fool them into anything.
No.
I mean, look, here's...
Drew, why are you trying to fool? She wants your arm there. Do you want it there? Put it there.
But here's what I'm saying. Well, let's talk honestly for a second here, Drew, about how this works.
All right.
Like, you can fool women into thinking you're different than you are, and that will help you. You can fool them into thinking that your lifestyle is different than what it is. And perhaps you have more money or you lead, you know, you volunteer more. You know, there's all sorts of things like this. But outside of roofies, you're not really going to fool them physically.
Right.
They'll see that coming.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they kind of hate it, right? It kind of looks lame. That sort of weakness that they don't like.
Yeah, they don't like a guy sneaking up on them.
Yeah. No, they like a guy who's in command, not abusive or controlling, but just, you know, sort of comfortable in the situation.
Yeah, women speak about getting swept off their feet,
mm-hmm.
not having a ferret slide up their ass.
All right, Krista, 20.
Am I right, Drew?
Yeah, I thought those were my words exactly. Krista, 20.
Hi. I had a question. When I am intimate with my boyfriend and I think about my ex-boyfriend I've never slept with, and I just picture his face there, and I don't know what to do about it.
How long have you been with your new boyfriend?
3 years.
3 years?
3 years.
And you're still thinking about a guy that you broke up with 3 years ago?
Yeah.
No.
I wasn't even with him that long. I don't know what it is about him.
What'd you say about never sleeping with him?
No, I've never slept with the guy that I'm fantasizing about. Like, I've never even seen
that's what I'm saying.
You're going to have to tell us what this is about. Either this is you fearing intimacy and sort of sabotaging it with an old relationship, or
mm-hmm.
or this guy being maybe more or less available than your current boyfriend. And again, because mm-hmm. your fear of intimacy, you fantasize about that one being back and better. I don't know.
Okay.
What is it? What's the deal? What's happening with you? Why can't you be close with your current boyfriend? Do you still like your boyfriend?
I do. But I just find the other guy more attractive, I guess. I don't know.
All right, well, maybe you're just plain old done. Yeah, you're done with your current boyfriend.
He's done.
3 years, 20. You don't know. You know, one of the things about being 20 or having been in a long relationship in your teens is you don't really know how to end it. You don't really know when it's over. But when you're saying things like, yeah, I kind of, well, I don't know. Yeah, I kind of like him. No, why hang out for that? You're 20.
Yeah.
Time to go date, figure out what you do want. Okay?
I don't get the part where she never slept with the first guy, never saw him naked.
Right, but she's all of a sudden picturing his face over the guy she's having sex with.
Yeah.
I'd
be all right with that. I just wouldn't want to see the other guy's penis over my penis.
Oh, it depends.
You know what I'm saying?
Unless it was, you know what I'm saying?
A little bigger.
D, yeah. 19. If you could actually use it, you know what I mean?
His penis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'd stab you with it in the ass.
D.
Yes.
What's going on, D?
I'm 19, and I'm a mom, and I've been with guys who are really experienced and generally older than me. And the guy I'm with now is a 22-year-old virgin who's really inexperienced. And I'm going to be spending a weekend with him, and I don't really know how to handle it because I think he takes intimacy a lot more seriously than I do.
Yeah.
And I love this guy. There's not a question there. We dated when I was younger, and then we got back together now. And I don't really know how to handle the situation and how to tell if he's ready, or he hides his emotions a lot. And
how do you tell when a guy's ready?
He gets a boner.
I think it's even simpler. It's like you got a pulse.
Well, he goes away with you for the weekend.
No, I'm going to visit him.
Oh, well, he lets you visit him. That's how you know when he's ready.
Right.
But wait a minute. What's the part where he is more intimate than she is?
He's a lot less experienced than I am, and he takes intimacy a lot more seriously. And I don't want to pressure him at all. But
do you mean like having sex with someone implies marriage? Is that what you're saying, or what?
Pretty much. He had his first kiss when he was 19.
He hasn't kissed
anybody since then.
What's up? Well, this guy's got a good rap at him. What's up with this guy?
He was hiding behind religion for a while, I think, and he was really confused, and he didn't want to get hurt, and yeah, and I mean, I don't think kissing is really serious. Obviously, I have a kid, and that was an accident, but it's just, I don't want to pressure him. I don't want to make it awkward, and I don't want to mess up our relationship, because I really do care about him a lot.
Well, why would it mess it up when, for him, that will move the relationship along because he takes it so seriously?
Because I'm afraid that I'm either going to turn him off because he's going to think I'm easy.
No, that won't happen.
Why do you say that?
This is what happened.
Wait a minute. It does happen. It's possible. But you guys have known each other for a long time.
Yeah, no. I've known him for 4 years.
So it will not happen. He knows who you are. Listen, I doubt this whole religious thing.
Well,
you do, Drew? I don't.
No, I do.
Well, I mean, the guy's got problems, no doubt about it.
Recently, he got off the religion kick and started riding the normal train.
I just think there might have been something else going on there.
He get molested or something good?
Him?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
His parents went through a nasty divorce, but...
Yeah.
What's he do for a living?
He's in the force. Well, the forces. He's in the military.
Men in Black.
But which there's branch? A possibility of him getting shipped to Iraq.
Which branch is he in?
The Army.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Yeah. It's my favorite show. All right.
I'm just worried if he gets shipped off and I don't prove to him.
What do you mean prove to him? This guy's got nothing to compare it to. Last time he got his dork wet was in a jacuzzi. You got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, you got nothing to worry about. I think what you should be worrying about is whether or not there's something up with him in terms of his ability to have a real relationship, or whether there's something else that's confused in him about his sexual orientation, maybe, or God knows what. And maybe that's why he was hiding behind religion. People don't hide behind religion unless they got some conflicts there and it's a convenient place to stop off.
Well, when we were dating and I was younger, he felt if he was holding my hand that we were sinning. But at the same time, he would tickle me, and his hand would go up my shirt, and it was my fault, kind of.
Oh, boy.
All right. Really, check in and see if some priest did something to this guy.
Yeah, something is up here.
This guy's got his antenna bent a long time ago.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, this is, it's, you know, here's the, put her on hold there, Drew. Let me sermonize for a moment here. When you try to force something that's unnatural on men, especially, I mean, you try to tell some 17, 18-year-old guy not to beat off, or when he pops a chubby, the baby Jesus cries, all that's going to do is drive him insane. Because you're not going to fight the chubby. You can't fight the chubby, Drew. Drew, have you ever tried to take on the chubby?
No, can't say I've fought the chubby.
I tried to go up against a chubby once, and only once. I like when people tell stories that way. I learned my lesson. That chubby had me in a half Nelson and crying for uncle so fast, Drew.
I think it's called
it
a headlock.
Make your head spin.
Yeah.
Yeah, a headlock. Full head Nelson. But, this guy's got some issues.
Yes.
And, as I've said, oftentimes very religious people just have mental disorders.
But this is not that. He was blaming religion for the way he was reacting, but the way he was reacting was just being sort of masked by all this religious orientation.
And then what about the part where she's got a kid, you know? I wonder if he's going to hold this against her with this sort of half-baked religion, which he says he's put behind him, but you know what I'm saying?
All right, let me turn all the cards. He's gay.
Ooh.
That's for sure. I mean, that's what I was trying to get you.
You're trying to get me to say gay?
No, I'm trying to get Anderson to drop that in.
Oh, no. Let me tell you something about Anderson. Anderson is like one of Ava Gabor's cats. He sits on the sofa. You know, you can't open the door and tell him to go outside and make a poop. He goes when he wants to go. He does what he wants to do.
Adam, you try and listen to yourself 2 hours a night. It's tough.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I really think there's something going on with that man.
Really?
Yeah, just my sense. Just the story just didn't fit otherwise.
He's gay.
Yeah. All right.
You could have just said it yourself.
I did. Let's talk to Jody real quick here, who's a Southwest employee. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
He's 21. What's going on?
Jody?
Hey, Adam. You guys
Hey, what's going on? Good times.
Well, you were commenting on having no peanuts on the flight, and it's only because people are allergic to peanuts, and that's why they call ahead.
Yeah, Jody.
I know. Yeah. I know it's not just some mad peanut terrorist is doing this. People are allergic to them, and here's my feeling. F you.
Well,
take a donkey.
Yeah. I like the peanuts too, Adam.
I do too, and so do the other 123 people on the flight. And here's the other deal too. I got a couple. Everyone is allergic to something. First off, only 10% of you are actually allergic to whatever it is you think you're allergic to. The rest of you are just hypochondriac pussies. And all you guys with the peanuts and the dust and all this kind of stuff, I'd love to see the actual percentage of people who could get killed by a peanut as opposed to people who claim a peanut could kill them. We all know these screwballs, don't we, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
And here's their whole life becomes about imposing their neuroses on the rest of us. And as a society, I would just like to slap them and tell them to go home. Drew, am I right or am I right?
You're right about those types. There is a genuine thing of peanut allergy. It does exist.
There is.
But it's a very, very rare thing. And there's debate about whether the sort of airborne quality is.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
you'd
be dropping over whenever you walk through a restaurant then, you know, really.
Of course. You couldn't go to a ball game.
And
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you should really be restricting your movements to the point that you maybe, you know, shouldn't be taking open flights like Southwest where large groups of people are gathered together in tight spaces.
Yeah, if there's no peanuts on this flight, there could be a couple loose ones from the last flight.
Or someone in their purse or something.
Yeah, who knows? I told them once I like peanuts. They got me like a garbage can of peanuts and like dumped them in my lap. I mean, I've eaten peanuts from flights I've taken before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so really, I'm just saying there's too many pussies in this country that are screwing everything up for the rest of us. And if I actually believed it would kill them, I would have some sympathy for them, but I know it doesn't.
What?
Very small percentage. Thank you, Drew. People drive me nuts. And, Drew, you're more outraged about these people, too, when we're off the air. It's just you become Jimmy Carter on the air. Thank you.
I like your idea that the masses suffer at the hands of the few. That's a problem as far as I'm concerned.
Of course it is. Here's the deal.
Pussies.
If something happened to you, something horrible happened to you, or you're born with some affliction, that's horrible, and you're going to have to spend the rest of your life dealing with it. But it's not society's issue. Society shouldn't punish you. Society shouldn't abuse you. But that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to affect the other 125 people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Drew. What's the matter with you? What are you doing? Reading in there?
No, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you.
No. You're all off tonight. You're distracted. What's going on? Is the TV on in there?
No, nothing.
You've been sitting there all night like a...
What are you talking about? Are you high?
A penis. You're just... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been a little bit of a ranch, a little bit puffed up tonight.
A little puffed up. Did you just sit there?
How would you like me to support you?
Those pussies.
You know what I'd like? I'd like a yes-um.
Okay, yes, sir, Mr. Corolla. Let me get that right. Yes, sir, Mr. Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you get silence or you get... Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. All right, that's the way you want to play it. You can play it that game, my friend.
No, I'm on your side.
Now, let me tell you something about revenge.
Yeah.
It's a dish best served cold, okay?
Okay.
Enough said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's take...
Yeah, yes, Mr. Corolla. Yes, yes.
Okay, work on that. All right. We'll take a little break. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. I'm out here in Las Vegas tonight.
I'm a wart on a penis, and Anderson is Zsa Zsa Gabor's dog.
Cat,
I beg your pardon.
The dog would listen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to figure out what it is you're hearing in me. I think it's the lack of your vibrant presence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Without you here, without us basking in the glow.
I'm going to start saving a fart up right now for you, Drew. when when they show footage of the aircraft carriers out in the Persian Gulf and the sailors riding like Saddam's suppository on one of the bombs before they load it up into the F-14?
Yes.
That's what I'm doing with one of my farts right now.
What are you going to name it?
Drew.
Oh, nice.
I don't have anything else.
Very poetic.
I'm working on it. But, I'll be back in studio tomorrow night, and Queens of the Stone Age will be in tomorrow night, too.
That'd be cool.
Great guys.
This is Mark 32.
Hey.
Hey.
How you guys
doing? Good.
Doing good. Hey, I'm 32 years old.
Yeah.
And
I've been dating this girl for the last 2 years. She's 25, and she can't make up her mind if she's bisexual or heterosexual. And I beg her all the time to please go straight or whatever, but she can't make up her mind. I don't know what to do.
Please go straight.
Please go straight.
How long have you been with her for?
2 years.
2 years, and you've been having a monogamous relationship that entire
time?
Yes, I have. Yeah, but what's she been up to?
Well.
Oh, my God. Mark, are you I think he's high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She fools around, but only with women.
Mm. How she many, ever let you, she let you watch?
Well, no.
This is not her being unable to make up her mind. This is her screwing around with women.
Right.
She's a cheater. And she,
but I'm a male. I don't mind that.
Okay, so what's your question?
What is she? Is she a stripper?
No.
What'd she do?
She's an accountant.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh, she wear glasses? And
no, she doesn't wear glasses. She's a hottie.
Mm-hmm.
No, no. What are you doing?
I'm talking about hair in the bun with the blouse and the glasses, and they whip their glasses off and shake their hair, and the bun comes undone, and the long, silky hair falls down on their supple breasts.
Something like that.
Mm.
I just don't know what to do because she's kind of a maniac in the bed.
What do you do for a living, Mark?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm a CPA also.
Oh. Wow.
Do you guys drink a lot together?
Pardon me?
Do you guys use a lot of alcohol or pot, anything like that?
No, not really.
Not really. Any other drugs?
No.
Was she sexually abused growing up?
No.
Hmm. Is she bipolar?
No.
All right. Well, here's the thing, Mark. This chick's got some energy. She's got some chaos. And if you want to hang with her, you'll just reap the rewards of the great sex, but you sort of be along for the ride. And I wouldn't put too much stock in this for a long-term thing.
Right.
Not unless you have to have complete chaos in your life.
The sex is so good, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. Listen.
Well, look, don't get her pregnant. Yeah. Yeah. You get that S word there, Anderson?
He's going after it.
Okay.
Yeah, Mark.
Get rid of Mark.
Yeah,
you can't use the S word that way.
What
kind of CPA says no S?
You want to talk to him again?
No.
I get bogus strongly. So.
Yeah, I get bogus too. So. I got bogus early into it.
Yeah, it just wasn't important to him. And if he, I mean, he's like a sociopath if that was a real.
Well,
call,
he was just bragging. Yeah. He was just bragging that he's got some. Hot
he's 32.
I know he's 32, but how many 32-year-old guys do we talk to that? You know, really have the mentality of a 19-year-old.
Oh, you're right. Jason, speaking of 18.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Okay, I just had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Like, okay, when my penis gets erect, it's, like, kind of curved to the left. And I want to know, what do I do to, like, get it straight, you know?
It might not straighten. That may just be you. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything abnormal. If you're not having trouble getting or sustaining an erection or pain with erection.
Well, yeah, that's like the thing. Like, it never happened. Well, it only happened like one time. Like, yeah.
Happens to everybody sometimes.
Okay. Would I like cause any like defects in the near future or?
Defects.
Like sexual defects. Like,
you're going to poke a hole in the woman or something? What do you mean?
No, does that like cut off? Okay. Will that enable me to have an easier erection?
Straightening it out?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah?
No, yeah. Listen, about 800 units of vitamin E a day. If there's a Peyronie's element to this, which means a little scar on the side of the penis pulling it to that side, 800 units of vitamin E a day may help that out. There is an operation to straighten these curves out, but that ends up shortening the penis. You sort of pull out a pie-shaped piece from the opposite side.
It just like gets hard and just goes to the left.
That's all right. That can be normal.
Hmm. Have you had any complaints from the ladies?
Jason?
Yeah.
No.
Any complaints?
No.
No.
All right.
Don't worry
about
it. Relax. He's just worrying about his penis. Guys worry about their penises. You know
what
I'm
saying?
Not me. Yeah, yours.
Not me.
Yours has been quite obedient. Hillary, 21.
Hi.
Hey.
I found out last night. My fiance told me that he likes. That he wears diapers every once in a while.
And but craps them or what?
No.
Why?
What's he doing them?
He just wears them.
Like cloth diapers?
No, like depends.
So he can.
He's been been doing it apparently like all his life. He just remembers always sneaking, wearing diapers. And
It's a fetish thing,
I pray
right?
to God none of my kids are doing anything weird like that.
I
pray to God they do.
I just never heard about anything like that. I mean,
it's not an unheard of fetish. No, does he have to do it with sex, or does he masturbate when he does that?
No, and he says it's basically so that he doesn't have to think about anything else but that. Like he does it, and then afterwards he has to try not to think about it because he knows I'm coming home, and it pretty much ruined our sex life because he said that what he would want to do is get it off of his mind so he would like jack off, and that's the only thing that would take his mind off of it.
Hillary.
Yes.
You're believing.
Didn't you ask her a few minutes ago?
I know, but he gave her a load of crap. What he filled her full of was the idea that, well, I masturbate to get my mind off of the fact that I was just wearing a diaper, which is such a load of crap.
Because I asked him, you know, well, is it a fetish? Is it like a sex thing? And I don't think, I mean, you're perfectly right. I don't think he wants to tell me exactly what it is because he basically said, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
Right. He's ashamed of it.
It's a shame.
Yeah. And it's a very.
He's never told anybody. He's never asked. Asked anybody about it. Anything like that. And I'm not sure.
It's a fetish. It's not an uncommon fetish. It's not unheard of by any means. It doesn't mean there's anything necessarily sort of globally wrong with him, but it means that he has some difficulty in intimate relationships. That he needs this sort of focus on this experience, mm-hmm. in order to function sexually, in order to feel fulfilled.
Okay.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 25.
Mm-hmm. And, well, first off, you should be glad it's a sexual fetish, because short of that, he's just wearing a diaper.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, Drew, wouldn't you be relieved if you found out it was a sexual fetish?
If it was just liking to wear a diaper with no arousal, then you wouldn't even know what to make of it. It's like, well, what?
Yeah, how are you going to get him to stop?
Then he's not potty trained.
Well, right.
Well, because I asked him, you know, at first I was just, you know, curious, you know, why would you want to do this? And then it was like more, I don't like it. I don't want you to do this. And he said, you know, I just see it as a bad habit, and I can stop my bad habit if I want to. And
I think he was going down a path with that.
Right. I don't understand.
Naughty habit.
Well, because he says he's been doing it since he was, you know, 7 or 8. And I said, well, you can't just stop. And he said,
what's he do?
He started to cry?
No.
He said he'd try.
And I said, if you don't stop, you need to get help. And is that right of me?
I think so. I think it's a reason. It's indicative of something that will definitely have an effect on your relationship. And it's not the kind of thing that if you indulge suddenly becomes fun and incorporated into a normal health. It's something that becomes a problem for you. It freaks you out a little bit. And it keeps him distanced from real intimacy.
Right.
Fetishes generally are not good things for relationships.
And what's
around a little bit, but if he's really got a fixed fetish, it's like.
Does he wear jeans, or does he wear those jumper pants, or, you know, what's he do?
No, he doesn't do it around me. He made sure that I was never at the house. He doesn't do it in public. He just.
So he goes out of the house without them.
Right. He's just in the house while he's alone is the only time he would do that.
Well, Adam, life is difficult enough. Could you imagine having to go out and secretly buy the pens?
Right.
And then wear them secretly in a ritual? And
No, if I bought the pens, I'd
You'd
be
use
like,
them. You'd use them.
No. If I was buying them for me, yeah. But if I went to the store to get them, I'd be like, yep, Grandpa's going to need himself some more. Right. I'd be talking to people in front of hang up on her, would you?
Sorry. Jesus.
That's all right.
She's interesting.
No, but all right. I was just going to do a little comedy thing there.
Go ahead, Grandpa.
No, it's all right. It's great. Listen.
Why do you get so upset if people just interrupt you when you're starting down a diatribe? Not in the middle.
I just think it's weird when you're doing a thing, like when you're talking and people like just start talking right into you.
People do that all the time, though. They don't realize that you're going to keep going. I know that you're going to keep going, so I shut up.
There was never a pause.
I know.
What do you mean?
It's hard to read. Let me tell you. I know in your head it's obvious, but it's not that easy to hear it starting up. I know I've learned how to watch out for it. The average conversation.
I didn't stop. I didn't. Because there wasn't a, no.
Look, I'm talking on you right now as you're making
you're
a statement.
You're not talking on me.
I am. I'm stepping on you right as you finish a statement. And in when you're starting a diatribe, you usually start out with a statement and then it rolls and people jump on you right at that statement point when your inflection is building, but people aren't used to hearing that. We should have this conversation off.
Drew, you're not a human being. That's why.
No, I noticed that a lot of people do that and it makes you mad.
Of course it makes me mad.
Maybe
but here's
maybe
what
it's
I'm saying,
you.
Drew. No, how can it be me? I'm not talking over me.
Okay.
Jackass. Drew.
Yes, go ahead.
I was in the middle of talking, and she just started talking simultaneously, and then we were both talking for a spell.
Okay.
So I told you to get rid of her.
Okay.
Now I'm willing to listen to what she has to say, but I fear that it's not going to add anything.
Oh well, that's goes without saying.
Okay, but let's talk about this, Drew.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. These things scare people because it smacks of bigger things.
Yeah.
I mean, human beings react this way,
right? It's like an animal seeing something that or smelling something funny. You know, they react.
Yeah. I mean, as human beings, we're almost sort of trained. It's an unspoken thing. But when someone is doing something that is considered very much against the norm of society, we think, what else is there?
Mm-hmm. It's not even a social normative. It's just a behavior that just like is nonsensical. Doesn't fit our sense of reality or how people work.
Right, but we're not, you know, the idea that this guy wears an adult diaper when he's around the house, really, physically, the act itself really makes no difference to anybody.
Right.
It's just there must be something driving this, and that's what we're reacting to.
That's right.
And that's what she's reacting to, and she's right.
And she wants him to get help, and that's great. And maybe, you know, maybe it's something that's easily dealt with. But it means something. It's usually trauma survivorship, some sort of trauma. And, you know, I was reading something about fetishes the other day, and they were saying somewhere embedded in each fetish is some sort of sadomasochistic impulse.
You mean some reason to have hurt yourself?
And just some power imbalance, some creation of a master-slave or a, you know, or a mom and a dad and a baby, you know, some sort of acting out of what ultimately is an S&M impulse.
Hmm. Well, good times there, buddy.
Yeah, what can you say?
All right, should we take a little break?
Yeah.
Who do we got when we come back?
Well, you want to talk to somebody who's mad at you about your comments regarding peanuts?
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah, I'll make the prediction right now. How old is the person?
50.
50?
It's her son.
Okay. Got a son who's allergic to peanuts.
Yeah.
Maybe died. Maybe went into anaphylactic shock or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And how dare I?
Right.
All right. I'll be back to make short work of this person after this. Madam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Queens of the Stone Age in the studio tomorrow night. Andrew.
Here you go. This is Margaret 50.
Hi, guys.
Margaret.
Hi. I've got an 18-year-old son. He's allergic to peanuts. He's almost died three times. The last time was just from being in the room where peanuts had been before, and his airway closed off. We spent the day in the hospital. I don't know what to say.
Well, here's what I'm saying. That your son should definitely not fly Southwest, right?
But can he fly any airlines?
Well, they don't have peanuts on all airlines.
Yeah, well, Drew just said that he shouldn't be in an enclosed space.
Right, with our airline that sells peanuts, or where there might be peanuts. That's the point.
Yeah, but you realize it's a lot more than just flying airlines.
Of course.
I mean, this is an awful thing to live with. How am I going to send him away to college in September?
Well,
you know,
he entered a room that a peanut...
It was Halloween. The teacher had handed out Reese's candies to the class before his for Halloween. He knows my son is allergic, so he didn't have any peanut candies for my son's class. My son walked into the classroom and noticed his throat was getting tight.
He doesn't carry an EpiPen with him?
Of course. He carries two EpiPens.
And that didn't work?
Yeah, the EpiPen worked, but we have to go right to the hospital after that.
But, I mean,
it works for 15 minutes, and that's all.
But, I mean, look, it's definitely a sad situation, but where can he go? I mean, if that's the case.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, he certainly shouldn't
be in the air. He shouldn't be in an airplane.
I know that, but don't you think that it's your responsibility to raise awareness instead of laughing? Because
no.
It's very, very, very scary. Try being him. Try being for a day. It's scary. He can't.
Well, I know, but I don't know what's raise awareness going to do.
I don't know. But maybe it'll stop people like you from laughing about it.
I'm not laughing about it. I'm saying the guy, I was mad because I couldn't get my peanuts.
I don't blame you. You know what? I adore peanut butter. I grew up on the stuff.
Me too.
I haven't been able to eat it for 18 years. But I don't know any other way to try to keep my son safe and try to teach him to be safe. He's on his own, you know. He's 18.
But how I just want to know how he could if a class before his class had peanut butter cups like Reese's peanut butter cups in the class.
How does he go to a grocery store?
How's he going to a liquor store?
It's in the air. He doesn't. He doesn't go into bakeries. He doesn't walk down certain aisles in Costco or the grocery store. He cannot. He can't take
but
that
the point we were making is that that for that 1% of the people that claim to have peanut allergy that truly have them, they should not be in enclosed spaces. They should not be up in the air. They should be. They're going to have to adjust their life in profound ways that aren't going to really be affected by anybody else changing their behavior because these things are in the environment and they're going to have to take responsibility for that.
Yeah, I know that.
And that was the point we're making.
And
well, can he go to a ballpark?
No, he cannot go to a ballpark. He cannot go to the circus. He cannot.
But do you think that peanuts should not be sold at Dodger Stadium because of him?
No, because he doesn't care about
baseball. Okay, that's the only. But let's say he has a passionate love for baseball. Should
then I don't know what I would do. Then I would.
You think peanuts should not be sold at Dodger Stadium?
No, I think in other baseball parks, I think it's in Canada, they make an area in the baseball, in the seating area where it's safe.
That would not be safe for him, though, because he'll walk past peanuts.
Well, I don't know then. I don't know what I would do. I'm about to send him off to college in September. The college cafeteria is filled with peanuts. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're going to do.
Where's he going to school?
Georgia.
I don't want to use the name of the school. What if they're listening? You know what I mean? I was only there yesterday.
What do you mean, what if they're listening?
I need their cooperation.
All right.
To help.
Oh, please, Anderson, stop that. Yes, go ahead.
I need them to help keep my son alive there for 4 years. He has to be able to eat healthy food. He has to be able to walk into the cafeteria and not die.
Where's his dad?
Where's his dad?
Mm-hmm.
His dad's at the hospital right now. He's a doctor.
Okay.
He is.
You want to talk to him?
No.
He's not here. He's in the hospital.
Okay.
All right. Good times. Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is it's a horrible affliction that your son has, but I don't know what society is really going to do to help him.
That was the point we were making. Was that you were making it a comedic way, but that we shouldn't be, should the rest of us bear the burden for his condition?
Yeah, I mean,
my point, should we not serve peanuts at any ball game, at any stadium, because the possibility is that one person might have an allergic reaction? No, that person's going to have to adjust their life. Unfortunately, it's horrible for that person. But
yeah,
you can't expect millions to change theirs because of it.
Yeah, he's going to have to not go into the dining hall, into the mess hall when he goes to college. He's going to have to eat in his dorm room or whatever. Whatever precautions he needs to take, he is going to have to be in charge of those precautions.
Absolutely.
All right.
So here we go. Juliet, 18. Oh, wait, we got to take a break, actually. Let's tease Juliet. Juliet?
Yeah.
Hi, what's going on?
I just had a question about my sex life, I guess.
Go.
Okay, well, the last two guys that I've had sex with have gotten really nervous, let's say. And it hasn't really happened.
Because they were so anxious.
I guess so.
Why do you think they were so nervous?
Smelly foo-foo.
I don't know. Well, one was my boyfriend, and the other was just like a longtime friend of mine. So there shouldn't really have been any nerves there.
But
I don't really know what's going on.
All right. Well, we got to explore this a little bit.
Okay. So the last two guys she was with lost their boner, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's enough to screw with a lady's confidence.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get into Juliet after this. Hey, buddy, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
A bunch of great new intros tonight.
Yeah. It's a good song. I like that song. Who is that? 1-800-LOVE-191. Who's that?
Adonis.
Adonis. Nice.
Yeah, sounds good. We were going to speak to Juliet, right?
Here she is, 18.
Hi.
So your boyfriend, and then who is the second guy, an old friend?
Yeah.
A friend with benefits type?
Not really. I mean, we've been friends for a while, and it's always sort of like kind of what's going to happen, and it did. So.
Okay. And did they tell you what the problem was?
No, I didn't want to ask, but... I mean, it just sort of didn't happen.
You know, as we were talking about last night, women don't realize this, but a substantial portion of that problem is from guys sort of being too excited.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The guy couldn't achieve an erection, or he couldn't maintain one.
Couldn't maintain.
Hmm.
So you say the one guy was your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Well, he was obviously able to achieve it in other encounters, right?
Yeah, but it sort of like towards the end, it sort of stopped working. And
Maybe he knew the relationship was ending, or he was nervous about that, or was carrying on in some other way that maybe you don't even know about yet.
Maybe.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Although that's not really a sign of that.
Friend.
Yeah. Nah.
I don't know. I just feel like it's me. Like there's a problem with me.
What would that problem be?
I don't know.
Guys don't get this problem because they're not attracted.
Okay.
Women have a grave misconception about that. Okay. I mean, the guy wouldn't be there with you unless he were attracted.
Okay. Well, would it be, like, a problem? Like, would that come from, like, being too aggressive or anything like
just
that?
Scaring the guys in some way. It's nervousness. It's anxiety. Okay. And if they're anxious, they want to perform. If they're anxious because something they want to be with you so badly, or they're anxious because you're in the back of a car and there's, people around or something.
Okay.
It's a nervousness.
Okay.
Well, what would be wrong with you? Anything we need to know about?
No. I mean...
Are you aggressive?
A little bit, I think so. Not overly, but,
Yeah, it's not going to stop.
What do you mean? What do you mean? In what way are you aggressive?
I mean, I just don't... I am not afraid of, like, making the first move or anything like that, but I'm not, like... won't take no for an answer, aggressive.
Yeah. What would the first move be?
I don't know. Just initiating.
And that's it, and then you'd hang back after that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, not totally, but I get it started and then let it go from there.
Okay.
It's not going to happen a third time.
Okay.
Are you in a relationship now?
No.
No. I bet the third guy gives you the effing of a lifetime.
Oh,
I
nice.
Pray that happens.
That's
yeah.
nice. This is Ray, 32. Ray?
Yeah.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, it's the Professor and Gilligan.
Nice.
You know Gilligan was the talent on that show, too, don't you?
Yeah. Hey, that's right, Ray.
I hear you. All right, you're the comedian, right? All right. I you guys all the time, and I hear about long-distance dads or dads abandoning their kids and stuff, and they end up turning into strippers. Not that strippers are bad, but
right.
I have a 10-year-old daughter that I recently got divorced a couple years ago from. I'm sort of a long-distance dad, and I don't want her to end up like that.
What she's going to do is choose a long-distance boyfriend or husband, somebody who's not available, somebody who's not really, not somebody that's going to make her happy. Somebody who she has to constantly chase after and sort of go be with from a distance.
Is there some literature or anything that I can read or to help prevent that from happening? How can I be a better dad to her?
By being there every day.
Yeah, well, ex-wives don't really make that easy, and the court systems are sort of skewed against the fathers in this world.
How often can you see her?
What's that?
How often do you get to see her?
I get her 6 weeks in the summer, and... usually that's it lately, the last couple of years. But
then you got to call her.
I call her twice a week, three times a week.
All right, there you go. I mean, that's really to maintain a very close, loving relationship is the goal.
Yeah, well,
Yeah. So what happened? What city are you living in now?
I went west. I moved to Arizona, but I'm from Chicago.
Why didn't you go back to Chicago and live nearby and try to see her on weekends, just even for a few minutes?
It's cold out there. And
oh, yeah. Forget. I thought your daughter was your priority.
Well, it is my priority.
Well, then move back there.
I may end up going back there.
All right. If your daughter is your priority, you need to get your ass back to Chicago. Period. End of story. Period. This is a Trisha.
Well, but true. You can't get the jet ski out over there that often.
Yeah,
you know what
tough.
I'm saying?
It's rough. And, you know.
The wind comes off the lake. Yeah. You know, you were there, Drew.
Good times. I'm just there. Trisha, 17.
Yeah. I have a problem with sexually being with guys or girls.
Uh-oh.
I start to cry.
Mm-mm.
Well, I get really emotional, and I don't even know why.
Hmm. Can you give us some...
You've been with men and with women?
Yes, I'm bisexual.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Want to give us some hint why sexuality might be so disturbing to you?
Huh.
Hmm. Want to give us a...
You want to give us a hint?
Yeah, I don't know, though.
Yeah.
You have no... You couldn't venture a guess?
Something that happened to you around sexuality that might be disturbing?
I mean, I know that there's past stuff, but I've gotten through with it, like with psychologists and stuff.
Yeah, well, obviously you haven't gotten through it. Obviously it still affects you.
But I don't know, like, it's only with certain guys,
well,
not certain girls.
Maybe it reminds you of those experiences. But how long were you in treatment for?
About 2 years.
What happened? What did a guy do to you?
My cousin sexually touched me till I was 13.
Mm. How much older is he than you?
I think he's probably about almost 30 now.
Well, I would imagine that situations sexually where you feel sort of out of control or pinned or frozen or threatened would be the ones that would trigger those sorts of feelings. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
all right,
so,
well, that's because you're still highly, highly affected by those traumatic experiences.
You were how old when he started doing this?
Started doing what?
Oh, boy.
You were how old when he started doing this?
Oh, since before I can remember. My family can remember.
They can remember, but you can't?
Uh-uh. I can remember, like, being 6 years old and seven and stuff, but I can't remember before that.
How is it they can remember, meaning they knew this was going on, but didn't put a stop to it?
Because my family's kind of, like, close the door, don't say anything.
Oh, my God. You mean they remember it happening to you when you were, like, 5 years
old?
No.
My aunts did, yeah.
And they just let it go?
No, they said something, and they thought it had stopped, but it didn't.
So, you know, it's like you were 5 and this guy was 18?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where's this guy now?
Yeah, actually, he lives down the street from me.
Oh,
he's
nice.
A cop?
No.
What's he do?
I don't know. He probably works at Grease Monkey.
Okay. And works at Grease Monkey?
Huh?
That's a specific name of a place?
Grease Monkey?
Yeah. He works somewhere with his dad, I don't know, on
okay.
cars. I don't like to
mingle
in with him, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, your family sounds pretty well screwed up.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, you had a lot of trauma growing up. And not only did you grow up with this guy victimizing you this way, but you grew up in a family that sort of facilitated it.
Absolutely, a family of victims.
Mm-hmm.
So, they still do.
They still do what?
Like, when I was 13, the last time it happened, I had told my aunt.
Yeah.
She called the cops, and, I mean, to this day, my family does not want to talk about it. They don't want to be reminded.
Well, that's understandable, not wanting to be, you know, sort of constantly reminded of a very painful event.
Yeah, but, I mean, they didn't go through with it. I did, and I think that my family should be there for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. But they shouldn't necessarily be reliving an awful experience over and over again, even though in your life, that's what it feels like. It's happening to you constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, well there
now,
you go.
No, that's why you're bisexual, and that's why you're crying.
And that's that. And if you want to look into that further, keep working on it. Because, as you know, Adam, you hear how Adam complains about his parents? Delightful people. Missed 3 football games. He's never forgiven them, 15 years of therapy? You barely recovered.
Barely.
Jonas,
23. It's worse. And how dare you, 3 football games.
Jonah?
They went to none.
Yeah.
Hey.
Dead beats.
How you doing?
What's going on there?
I just had a question. I heard you guys talking the other day about there's a 22-year-old girl that called up, and she sounded like she was 9 years old. And you asked her, I remember Dr. Drew saying something about, you know, when you asked her at what age did she get sexually molested, and she said 9, and it was by her older cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been dating this girl for a year now, and she's 22 years old, and her voice, you know, I never really thought about this until I heard you guys talking to this girl, but she has the voice exactly like that, like a real, you know, she sounds like a 7-year-old.
Something happened to her when she was 7?
I don't know. That's what, you know what I mean? It just now.
How's the relationship been?
Lately it's just been whack. Like, first 6 months were great. We never even had an argument once. Like, yeah. Never.
Well, as you get close, though, if someone's been abused, when you start getting real close, that's when it gets crazy.
And then, you know, like, you know, she moved in. We've been living together.
Oh, boy.
And, like, the first 6 months, we did not have one problem. Like, it was the perfect relationship. I couldn't have asked for anything better. And then just lately, it's just been getting nutty. And I've been trying to think, you know, like, what's going on? Like, she's just freaking, she's crazy. Like, she's just been acting nutty. And I heard you guys.
All right. Well, hold on a second, Jonah. Let's ask some questions. Here's the thing. And Drew, you stop me if you disagree. But the voice is definitely a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a reason to investigate.
But once in a while, people have voices that sound different than their age.
Yeah, yeah.
We're perfectly willing to accept that.
Yeah.
It's right. Just when you mix the voice in with a bunch of different
behaviors,
yeah. Then now it's starting to get to 80-90% that something happened. So the question is, and I have a couple of them, like how is she in bed?
She's it gets better. Like, there's nothing wrong.
But is she wild?
Is she wild? Is she crazy?
Yeah, you know, because, like, her attitude, if you met her, you would think that she's just a total laid-back, reserved, like, real, you know what I mean, calm. But, you know, in bed, she rocks, you know what I mean?
All right, but
like,
that's not a good thing, Jonah. That's what we're looking for.
Well, rocking is fine, but crying and asking you to tie her up and beat her and that kind of stuff,
no,
that's something else.
No, she doesn't do that. Like, the sex has been getting better.
Like, and no crying, right?
No crying. But like I said, you know,
oh, God damn it.
Well, the next question was, you know, stuff about relationship with her dad and her family and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Does she ask to do threesomes? Is she curious about her identity, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Here's the deal. If you got that little girl voice and everything else is just fine and it's just in a vacuum, then you just got the little girl voice. But if you have the little girl voice and there's a bunch of chaos, then there's something there.
Is she questioning her sexual orientation?
What do you mean? No. What do you mean?
Does she think about it? Does she talk about threesomes or anything like that?
No.
What's she do? What's she do for a living?
She's a dental assistant.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, she may just have the little girl voice then. Drew doesn't believe it. Neither do I. But she's not.
He's got to investigate. He got to look into it a little bit. Something's up.
All right.
Something's up. And what's he gonna do? So what if she was abused? What's he gonna do? You know, dump her just because of that history? At least he'll understand a little more about what's going on in this relationship. And if it's something he really values, he can get some help managing what's going on interpersonally. Because by himself, he's going to continue to feel like he's in the eye of a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, 19.
I had a question. If you got, I got like a bend in my penis when it's erect, and it doesn't bother my girlfriend or anything. But it bugs the hell out of me.
Didn't you hear we were talking about it earlier?
Oh, were you? No, I just got on.
Okay. Sometimes it's Peyronie's disease. It can be improved with vitamin E, 800 units a day.
Vitamin E?
Yeah.
I was wondering if there's some kind of corrective surgery or something.
There are, but if you're not having trouble getting an erection, sustaining erection, that sort of thing, don't do it. I mean, it just shortens the penis, basically.
Oh, yeah?
All right, good times. All right. We don't need to take those calls anymore.
Yeah. What is Jessica 20?
Oh, hi. I've been together with my boyfriend for, like, about 10 months, and we were kind of kidding about, like, having a threesome. And, like, I was just wondering, like, if it's, like, safe and, like, you know, if there's emotional, like, effects from it.
Yes, the emotional effects is your relationship will come to an end.
Really?
Yes.
Usually, yeah.
No, almost with that exception. Now, maybe not immediately.
Unless both of you are just sort of nutty and it becomes a lifestyle.
Right.
It's pretty serious, I guess, so.
Yeah, well, who brought this up?
He did.
Okay, he wasn't kidding.
He wasn't kidding?
No, he's not kidding. You're kidding. He's not kidding.
He said that's what he wants to do. Like,
yes, that's what he wants to do, but he doesn't really understand. Many of them want to do this. Very few of them understand the full impact of actually going down that road.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that road, who's he want to get involved with this besides you?
He didn't say. Like, I don't know. We didn't, like, pick anyone.
Of course, he's expecting Jessica to go out and be the bait.
Well, yeah, she's got to. You have any girlfriends he likes?
Like, he had, like, I guess one friend in mind that's his friend.
My God.
That's the girl.
Jessica, just stop deluding yourself. He's got a master plan at work here.
Do you like her? Do you think she's cute?
I never met her. I don't know.
So he was just talking about her?
No. Like, I don't know. And then, like, he went to a club, and then, like, he made up this person to, like, see if I would go along with it. And I was just like, oh, I don't know. And then he said that he was kidding, but I thought he was totally serious. And so I was, like, all stressing out and stuff. And then he's like, no, I was just kidding. So.
Yeah, he's just kidding when he saw you react negatively. Then all of a sudden it was kidding.
I guess.
Jessica, please, just stay on your toes with this guy. Be realistic.
Hold on a second. I got Yeah, Jessica?
Uh-huh.
Junior college?
Am I in college?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Junior college?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it possible to ask another question?
Sure.
Which junior college you go to?
Oh, I go to a four-year university.
You go to four-year?
Yeah.
Which one?
Cal State Hayward.
Oh, okay.
Hayward?
Yeah.
What the hell is that school?
I don't know.
Hayward, you know.
I've heard of it. I think I heard you. I smelled junior college on you. What's wrong with my nose?
Well, California State.
Oh, okay. But still, I know it's almost a junior college, but it's still not a junior college.
What was your other question?
I was wrong.
It was about, like, yeast infections.
Yeah.
Because, like,
that's what I was smelling.
those don't smell, interestingly. Not really.
Because, like, I've been having the worst problems with it. And then, like, I would try to call my doctor or, you know, like, Kaiser, and, like, they would never, like, see me. They would only prescribe something else. So I was wondering, like, if there's, like, a way to totally solve it, or, like, if I just have to keep taking different stuff.
Here's the basic on this, that there are plenty of over-the-counter medications, Terazol, Monistat, this sort of thing, Gynalotrimin. Make sure you use the creams and not the suppositories, because sometimes the suppositories don't get into all the crevices in there.
I even took the pill, too, the Diflucan.
Diflucan, I was going to say, is the other way to try to eradicate it. But if in spite of recurrent treatments with the over-the-counter cream and a course of Diflucan, you have to go back and get a pap smear to make sure there's not some other kind of infection that's really not a yeast infection. Or you may just be one of these people that has recurrent yeast infections. Uh-huh. You should get a blood count, a blood sugar count, a thyroid test, just to make sure there's not something going on metabolically to predispose you to it. Uh-huh. But you may just be one of these people with recurrent yeast infections.
But there's no way to, like, cure it or whatever?
Adam, did you hear what I said?
I'm still baffled on the junior college thing.
Okay, good. Yes, there are ways to cure it, but some people just have recurrent infections.
They just have it.
That's just some people. But that may not be you. You need to get a workup first.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Hey, good times. And just keep in mind that if you want this relationship to last, the threesome is probably going to throw a wrench in the spokes.
Absolutely. Sinjin, 23.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm wondering how long cocaine stays in your system for a drug test.
Just like a day or
not
so,
even
right?
that, like 12 hours max.
Yeah, you're really? Cool, dude.
Why? What's happening?
Well, I need to get a job or whatever. Take a test to get a job mm-hmm. at Target. So.
Oh, Target, yeah.
Yeah.
The only place more stringent than Target is Walmart.
Yeah.
Drug testing.
Yeah.
The thing that's ironic about Target is if you're applying for a job at Target at age 23, you've missed your Target. It just made me think of that. That arrow has gone very wide of the mark. I think whatever plan A was, it didn't work out.
Hey, I go to junior college, too.
Nice. Well, wait, now aren't you smoking a little pot, too?
No.
Really?
Just no.
Some blow, huh?
Well, I just do, like, Coke and Metabolife, I don't know, to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the new study on ephedra and strokes and heart attacks and stuff, right? You're fat.
Yeah. Drew, please.
Yeah.
That ephedra is dangerous stuff. Everyone made a big deal about that goddamn phenylpropanolamine in cold medicine, and yet ephedra goes on. Same thing. Exact same thing.
You mean everyone made a big deal out of the fen-phen?
No, that's different. People made a big deal out of that. That's more serious, actually. But phenylpropanolamine was a over-the-counter cold medicine. It was in just about everything. And they, oh, my God, it's a catastrophe. People are going to stroke. And there were two strokes out of 400 million prescriptions. But all right, it needs to go. Meantime, ephedra, which does the same thing to your body, goes on. Goes on.
Now here, let me ask you about ephedra. That's speed, right?
Your body basically converts it to speed.
Converts it to speed.
If you do not
and
it.
People, it's in dietetic mm-hmm. pills
it's
and
in metabolite that Sinjin's using.
Yeah. It is. And is it also in antihistamines?
No, that's a something else. That's pseudoephedrine, which is
but
a relative.
Not ephedra.
No, it's not ephedra.
But it's a relative of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't do the same thing.
No.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Is there an accumulation problem, or is it just that you could take too much at one time, throw things out of rhythm, and have a stroke?
You can throw your heart out of rhythm with too much at one time, but it is a chronic stress on blood vessels. And having that stress over time increases the probability of some catastrophe occurring.
Okay, because, you know, I think a lot of people look at this as... Well, if I monitor the amount that I take and I don't get all sped up and I don't get the rhythm thrown off, then I won't get a stroke. Then right. I'll walk away scot-free from this after using it for a number of years.
Not the case.
All right. Well, again, as Drew would say, no free lunch in nature. Right. Yes, Drew?
That's what I would say. And like Adam would say, hey, good times, right?
Hey, good times. Good times.
Hey, Adam, you should get John Hyatt back. I really like him, too. Yeah,
you're overweight.
Sinjin, you like John Hyatt?
Yes, and I'm not overweight. I weigh 190, and I'm 6'3".
I get rid of that fen-phen, the ephedra, for God's sakes, metabolite.
But I want to keep my six-pack, so.
No, for Christ's sake.
I'll stop because of you, Drew.
All right, buddy. Well, this guy, look, he gives his props to Drew. He loves John Hyatt, who's my hero. He's a great singer-songwriter.
We don't want him dropping dead from ephedra, do we?
No, yeah. No. We got to keep all those John Hyatt fans alive. And, if he's coming back this way, I'd love to get him on the show.
All right.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. That's a little, wait a minute, is that Queens of the Stone Age? Yeah. Queens of the Stone Age going to be in studio tomorrow night. And phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here is Jack, who's 32. Jack.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Jack?
Hey, My wife has basically lost all interest in sex, and obviously I haven't as a man.
Did you guys have a child recently?
What's that?
Have you had a child recently?
Yeah. Actually, we've got about a three-month-old and two other kids that are under three.
give your wife a break.
Well, you know, it's just that it's getting progressively worse for the past 4 or 5 years.
And how old are the – so really since her her first pregnancy, that's when things started going down?
Pretty much, yeah. It sort of stopped with that, and then it never – it just hasn't.
All right, Jack, here's a couple piece of advice. First of all, you're the head of a family. You've got a bunch of people you're responsible for. Their safety and well-being and nurturing them needs to be your priority, not your penis for a little while. Number two, it's okay to want to have active sex life with your wife, and she should want that too and probably does, but women after pregnancy go through some tremendous hormonal changes. You should talk or get her at least to talk to her gynecologist. There are ways, being on certain pills and things, birth control pills can actually sort of get things going again. It's not probably that she doesn't want to have sex, that she just has no biological drive. And then you add to that the fact that she has three souls sucking her life right out of her. It's very difficult to be a mother, and you've got to support her on that.
Sure. It's just, I guess, I feel like her motivation to even try and do something about it, it's just not there.
I bet you that's the biology more than anything. And well, maybe she's depressed, too. That's the other thing to really keep on top of. The depressions are so common in the first year after pregnancy, and they can be quite severe.
Is she angry at you about anything?
You know, I've been working a lot and traveling quite a bit.
Yeah, she's angry that you're not there to help out with the kids. She's angry that you want to have sex all the time.
Yeah.
But that's all normal, though. I mean, that's... You know,
to give her space, and I've tried to let her, you know, initiate and wait for her.
How often are you guys having sex?
Probably twice a month.
Yeah.
And it's gone. It used to be easily multiple times a week before that time.
Yeah.
So it's just been a dramatic shift.
Well, Drew, it's interesting for you because you have three kids of your own, so you can sympathize with Jack's wife, but also... You're a man of great passion.
Yes. Like Jack.
You can also sympathize with Jack's junk. Yes?
Yes, me and Jack's junk are one.
Yeah. Well, I think you're two, actually, now. But the thing is Jack, yes, you have a valid point, and I agree with Drew. She needs to go to the gynecologist and see what can be done. And what Jack is saying, which I agree with, is... he understands there's a problem. He's sympathetic, but he's going to need to see a little effort.
No, absolutely, and not that he should not expect things to change, but you're going to have to be patient, and you have to sort of keep your priorities lined up. And the more you pressure her, the more she feels responsible for all this, the more difficult it's going to be.
It just seems, I mean, so what you're saying is it just needs time.
It needs an evaluation because there might be, again, a depression or a biological problem. And then try taking her away from the kids for a day or two even. Maybe get the grandparents in there and you guys take a weekend away. You need more time face-to-face. And when you have three kids, it's real hard to get that. And women need that connection in order to feel sexual.
And what do I do? And I think I know the answer to this, but what do I do in the meantime? I mean, for myself. And
Adam, this is where you come in.
Glad you asked, Jack. Does she let you... keep any movies in the house? Anything you can watch?
She's kind of anti.
Will you travel? He travels a lot, Adam.
Oh yeah, get a hooker. I agree with Drew.
That's not what I meant.
Well, Spectrovision
or whatever.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and I think Drew would agree with this. Although I know Drew gets freaked out about pornography in the house around the kids, but. Let's face it, there's many things that are in the house, from handguns to a lot of people, to medications, to cleaning products. These are all things, as a parent, you need to keep away from your kids. And, if you can't figure out a way to keep something out of the hands of a 2.5-year-old, then you got some serious problems. Right. And I would suggest that porn would fall under the same heading as prescription drugs or sleeping pills or mouthwash or anything you don't want your kids to get a hold of.
Yeah, I think under 5 or so you can keep things protected. Yeah.
Yeah, so, she can't have it both ways. She can't not put out and freak out if you want to slip a little Jenna Jameson in to the DVD player once in a while.
All right. Okay, Jack?
Yeah, so
great.
Good time.
I'd tell her. It's got to, because... Drew, what's the guy? What now? What, you know?
Yeah.
Can't bring any porn in the house. Can't have sex with his own wife. Then what?
He's traveling. Well, then he explodes. Michael, 17.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
All right. My problem is, I'm 17. Like, I can't. Like, okay. Say if I don't jack off before I go to bed, then I'll have a weird dream, and then I don't know. Like, is that normal? Because it's been doing that since I'm 14.
Yeah. I mean, God does it for you, I guess, if you don't do it for yourself, huh?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that makes you gay. What?
Really?
Yeah, he's like, what?
Picturing God in that loincloth all greased up and striated, coming down, giving him a little hand in his sleep. Mm-hmm. It's unclear whether God gives you the handy or the Sandman does it. I'm still working on this, Drew.
Really? You're not actually had anyone report into you, huh?
I have a double blind test going in my basement right now.
Who's the control?
Some homeless, folks.
I see, yeah.
Yeah, I have one side of the basement sectioned off for God and the other side sectioned off for the Sandman. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then a third placebo group.
Right.
Where I actually sneak down there and get my handy.
Good. Okay, that's the control group. Got it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Would that be the control group?
Yeah. Yeah. You're the control. You are. Yeah.
Now, how does that work, Drew? When you do one of these tests this way? Seriously.
It depends what you're doing, how you're trying to do it.
Well, let's say you're trying to test a medication.
You're trying to see if it's effective. You're trying to test a hypothesis. Okay. You concoct an idea. I think that this medicine is going to treat pneumonias better than any other. So
right.
You take your medicine and you randomly select people and you try to control for the kinds of cases and the kinds of people, and you give one group your medication and you give the other one something else.
Right.
See what the outcomes are, and you study it statistically.
But which one's the control group?
Control is the something else.
Something else is the control group.
Yeah.
And that's the placebo group.
Yeah, or whatever, some standard.
Okay. I mean, some medication.
Yeah.
That I want to see if mine works better than.
It's a little different. The control really should be just a group for which you do nothing. But
they get the placebo though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or the placebo group, right? If you could ethically not treat a pneumonia, so yes.
All right. Well, good times. I think I could ethically not do it, but. Look, if this is what happens to him each time he doesn't beat off, then you do the math. He's got to beat off, or he's got to put like a chamois down or something on the sheet before he goes to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
there you go.
Good times.
Good times. Here's Krom, 16.
Yeah, hey. How you guys doing?
Hey.
We're good.
Hey.
What's happening?
Adam, you are my hero, man.
Thanks, Krom.
Sounds pretty excited.
Well,
he's in my control group.
Yeah.
I always want to talk to you guys, and I think it's kind of overlooked that, like, what you do for people, it's actually more than like people think. It's actually like a service, you know.
That's the idea.
That's right, man.
It's kind of cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. People misunderstand the show. They don't understand when I scream about Southwest and not getting my peanuts for 20 minutes that I'm providing valuable service for the community.
These kids should just not ride the airplane, you know. They can't handle the peanuts.
There you go.
That's right.
All right, what's up? Is that you? I want to keep him on for a little while. This is too good. Krom? Don't go away, Krom. You there? We want to keep talking to you. Krom?
All right, I'm going to loosen up my headphones in case he bellows again.
Okay, Krom?
Yeah?
Drew.
Hey, there he is. We're not letting you go that easy, Krom.
All right, so what's the question, man?
I kind of wanted to yell my name because it's so weird and it's just a joke out of this movie, but don't worry about it. Yeah, okay, well, you know, prostitution Vegas, they have it there, right?
I like that Krom just doesn't miss a beat and keeps going right on going.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, they don't have it in Vegas. I think they have it in...
Outside the city, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not Henderson. It's Clark County or something. I don't know.
Well, it also goes down to, like, what's your opinion on it, Adam? I mean, like, me and my friend were having this debate, and I think it should be legal. I mean, like, we're just like animals, you know? What does love have to really do with it, like, if people don't have it? But
he
says no, and your screen also said no. She was like, no, it's just dirty. It's not clean. We're not animals. You know, we take care of ourselves and stuff. And I was thinking...
Wait, I don't understand your point, Krom. What is the point?
My point is, like, what is Adam? Do you think prostitution... And you too, Drew. Do you think it should be legal or not legal?
In other words, should victimless crimes be legal or not? Crimes that involve vice that are essentially victimless, should they be legal?
You could look at it that way too, I guess. It's kind of like, you know.
Well, that's what he's saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are what they call consensual crimes. And here's the deal. Here's the problem. Can you get rid of him, please? Drew?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I think it should be legal. I think anything that has been going on for thousands of years and we're not going to get rid of needs to be sort of legalized and dealt with.
Mm. Controlled, contained.
Yeah. It's not an endorsement for it, but it's saying, hey, it exists. It always has. We make attempts. They don't work. It's really the same thing with drugs.
But there
if
is
somebody
a... yeah,
could
ahead.
Do away with these things, that would be great. But they can't do away with these things, so we need to sort of be big boys about it and face up to it, because when we don't, that's when the trouble begins.
Do you think,
I mean, yeah, sorry.
Do you think,
Drew,
though, it changes the sort of character of a society that doesn't try to illegalize these things?
I don't believe it's the greatest reflection. I mean, on one hand, well, you have a society where prostitution and drugs are legal. On the other hand, you have a sort of honest society that's able to take a look at their foibles and, you know, approach them realistically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'd kind of rather live in that society myself. I mean, the problem is you make drugs illegal, and what happens? I get my car broken into and my stereo stolen so a guy can get his crack.
Right.
And there's, you know, I mean, how many murders are related to this each year? You know what I mean? How much money does this cost society? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's the same with prostitution. You make it illegal, so you get pimps, you get the wrong people getting the money. I mean, think of what something like drugs fund.
Yeah.
Think about all the cartels.
Oh, I know. Oh,
think
yeah.
about all the weapons that are bought. Think about all the abuse and mm-hmm. murders. Think about where these billions of dollars each year. Think about the hands these things are. Who's this ending up in? Mm-hmm. Whose pockets are these in?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a pretty big issue, too. It seems to me that Nevada has a pretty decent handle on it.
Yeah.
A guy wants to get laid. He drives 50 miles out of town to one of these ranches. He plunks down his $200. He gets laid. She gets an AIDS test. He puts a condom on. He has a cocktail, and he goes back to his truck route.
Mm.
I mean, seems to have been working okay. You don't hear a lot of complaints, do you?
No.
Seems like we could work something out. Yeah, I'm all for it.
Time for break.
Legalized prostitution.
All right.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Queens of the Stone Age in studio tomorrow night. But now, time to get back to you and the phone calls, Drew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Where was I going to go here? This is Paul, 19.
Hey, what's up?
Paul.
Hey.
Hey. First things first, hey, Adam,
mm-hmm.
my dentist has a TV right above his chair.
Yeah, you mean like a flat screen up on the ceiling?
No, it's more like a wooden box, and it has a 13-inch TV that Annie gives you a remote to it too.
Nice.
Ah, that's nice. But you do have the fear that the thing's gonna land on your nuts at some point, don't you?
Well, it would land like on your chin and your chest, but yeah.
Oh, okay, all right, and then roll over and crush your nuts as your face was disfigured.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish more dentists would do this. Like I said, every time I talk to a dentist, I get the that was the last conversation I had with the dentist. He's like, I know guys who've got TVs on the ceiling. Hey, yeah, that's great. What's their number? Dentists are full of dentists. I don't know why they have no shame in this, but if I owned a business, like when I was a carpenter, I didn't go to people's houses with a hand plane and the hammer that Michael Landon used on Little House on the Prairie and go, yeah, you know, I work with these guys. They got power planers. They got joiners. They got carbide tip blades. They got all that stuff. It's great. Yeah, it's great. Not me, though.
I got
a stick with a rock tied on the end of it.
You have Jesus's tools.
Yeah, I borrowed Jesus's stuff. Yeah, oh, but they got it. It's great. Oh, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
That's all I get.
All right, Paul, is that it? Paul?
Yeah, I got a question about masturbation.
Yeah.
There we go. I live in a Mormon household.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, leave me alone. But
Yeah, whenever, that's my brother. I live in a Mormon household, and whenever I shoot, I hold it in so that my parents don't get, like, check me or whatever.
They check you?
Well, no, they don't check me, but, like, if they were, like, my dad used to be a bishop of my ward, and so I think he might know.
Did you say a bishop?
Yeah.
Of your what?
Of my ward.
Ward?
Yeah.
Of your ward.
Yeah.
Is that like a parish or something?
No, it's like a, it's like your area of what?
Okay. Anyways, so you're paranoid that he's gonna somehow magically know that you've been doing your thing.
Yeah.
All right. So you hold, and what happens?
Well, after like a while.
Don't you have wet dreams?
Well, not really. Like,
no, he pinches it off.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Like,
he cramps the end of his penis.
Oh, my God.
And his nuts go boom, like they do on those commercials when the guy has gas, you know, his stomach goes out.
But is it, are you saying that you go ahead and masturbate, you have an orgasm, but you just don't let it come out?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And yeah. I was wondering if I continue doing this, if it like will make me impotent or whatever.
No, but it's gonna it could give you prostate problems, and it's not good for your genital tract at all.
And I'll tell you what's gonna happen.
Okay.
Because this happened to a friend of mine once.
Oh,
he was he was Jehovah's Witness. He wasn't Mormon, but same difference. He'd been doing this for years. Each time he got to the point of orgasm, it started to come out, he'd pinch it off and send it back into his body.
It just goes into the bladder and then it's peed out
what?
Later.
Oh,
all right,
okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, thanks. All right, Drew. All right, let's get my Drew.
Adam,
all right.
If I knew you were telling a joke, I would have stayed out of the way. I thought you were serious. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Hey,
so,
I got another thing.
Yeah.
Drew.
Sorry. All right. Sorry,
no, I'm mad at Drew. You're fine. What if
Adam, what's it, think about motivation. What's in it for me?
What is in it for you?
If right, think about it. If I
well,
did,
shut up. I'm telling a story.
And I was going along with you, and like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy thought it was coming out. It just goes back into the bladder. Okay.
I had a friend who was Jehovah's Witness who did this for years.
You're such
just
a good story.
Just going to jump in. Just going to jump in.
Completely bought it with you and was going along with you.
Well, go along then.
Go ahead. Finish up.
Okay.
No, I want Adam to finish up, not you, Paul.
Oh.
No, finish the joke?
Adam, what do you think? What think of my motivation. I'm trying to interrupt you. I don't want you to tell
me. No, I don't believe there's any evil or malice. It's just you're so goddamn uncomfortable all the time. You always have to finish everyone's thoughts. Just relax.
All right.
What's up with you? Jesus Christ.
Are you done?
I had a good What's joke that? Here.
Go ahead. I'm ready.
It's waiting.
All right, so you know this friend of mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, my Jehovah's Witness friend, Drew, that I've never, ever brought up to you, ever.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend who's Jehovah's Witness.
Go ahead.
Well, where's Paul now?
He's talking to his dad.
Well, no. I want to tell Paul.
All right.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Paul. Anyway, buddy, good friend of mine, right?
Okay.
Jehovah's Witness, right?
Okay.
Guy had the same problem. He pinched his dork off each time. He did this for years. He didn't want his parents to find out. And one Thanksgiving, they're saying grace,
yeah.
And they just break grace, and they're handing the mashed potatoes to him, and he vomits up like 4 gallons of semen all over the table. I mean, it gets all over his aunt, gets right in his dad's face. I mean, it was a disaster. The food actually was carried off the table by a wave of
washed
semen.
Off.
Yeah, washed it off. So that could, thank you. That could quite possibly happen to you.
That I hope not, please, no.
It could, and it does happen at family gatherings. Like I said, Thanksgiving it happened to this guy.
Hey, you know what's really great, Adam?
Hmm.
Yeah. Tara just asked if it was a true story.
You see how convincing you are, Adam?
I know. Why am I punished for telling good stories here?
Oh, my God. All right.
Jackass.
Okay, very quickly. This is Corey, 26.
Hey, Drew. I just wanted to tell you that I just saw you talking about dildos on the History Channel.
Wow.
Yeah, my girlfriend came in because I'm a big Adam fan. I know everything about him, by the way.
Even when he goes off and screams at me because I
ruin my jokes.
Join him enthusiastically in his stories.
Yeah, Drew, you're too self-absorbed. I mean, let Adam get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, my God, Corey. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, and my girlfriend came in and said, stop watching crap all the time and put on something educational. And I turned to the History Channel. And there we are. Talking about dildos.
Nice. Was it the history of sex thing or something?
Yeah, something about the ladies in the 20s used trains to masturbate or something. And then you said now they use dildos or something. But I turned the sound down like Adam does to watch the porn part of it.
Very nice. Sorry.
Sweet.
So what? You didn't what?
I didn't, listen to you. I just turned the sound down.
I appreciate that.
To watch the
good porn man. That's good man, Corey. Nice.
Well, we got to take a break.
All right there, Drewski.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Another love line in the can. A lot of great new intros tonight. I hope we'll continue playing them from now on, yes? Fantastic. Queens of the Stone Age tomorrow night. Until then, though, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Naughty habit. Naughty habit.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.